From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for joining us for today's Let the Bible Speak broadcast. I hope that you've all had a very blessed Christmas season. I suppose that many of you, like our family, will have kept your Christmas dinner celebrations until today, given that this year Christmas Day fell on the Lord's Day. Whatever you're doing today, we thank you for taking the time to join us as we let the Bible speak. I think that we have a good program for you today. The music and the sermon will come from a service of lessons or Bible readings and carols that we held at our church here in Greenville. We'll start with our men's group singing an old favorite among Christmas carols, We Three Kings of Orient Are. In the United Kingdom, we call December the 26th Boxing Day. Few people over there have any idea as to how it ever got that name. All they know is that it's a public holiday, a sort of a second Christmas Day. In fact, it takes its name from the term Christmas box. Because of the busyness of Christmas Day, it was more convenient to use the next day to give Christmas boxes, especially to people like those who delivered your meal, your milk, your bread, or others who had provided a service to you during the year. At any rate, in the UK, this is Boxing Day. And it reminds me that it's not too late to give yourself a belated Christmas box by requesting from us a free subscription to our quarterly magazine. This is a full-color, 24-page quality magazine that lives up to our name, as it lets the Bible speak on important matters of Christian doctrine and practice. To obtain your copy of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, and to receive each new issue as it arrives, all you have to do is write or call us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. And now, here is Gene Elliott with another favorite carol, O Holy Night.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin,
here in Greenville picked up a story that I'm sure made it into the papers in your area. Apparently, most of the mega churches in the country decided to close yesterday because it was Christmas Day. The argument was that Christmas is a family time and families would be better served by being able to have a good time at home. Hence, no church. I think that this decision gives away a lot of how such churches view their ministry, and indeed how far they have strayed from the Bible's standards for Christian worship. Let me say at once that I am not among those who go out of their way to ignore the Christmas season. I know many sincere Christians who do that. They believe that it's no part of New Testament worship or practice to observe such special seasons, and that indeed much that surrounds Christmas nowadays is more pagan than Christian. With this latter charge, I completely agree. But having said that, I have always believed that the birth of Christ, the incarnation of the Son of God, is an event of such magnitude that we cannot ignore it. Certainly the God of heaven marked the day and the time of the birth of our Savior in the most miraculous and glorious manner. Personally, I dwell on the theme of the incarnation all through the year, but I'm glad when I can gain a special hearing for its truth from people who don't normally give much time to listening to the gospel. That is not to say that Christmas Day is a specially holy day. There is only one holy day on the Christian calendar, and that is the weekly Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day. We are not commanded to have church services on Christmas Day or Good Friday or any other special day, but we are commanded to meet for worship on the Lord's Day. And that is what is so disturbing in the decision of the nation's megachurches in cancelling their Lord's Day services. Not only have they effectively made their people a company of Sabbath breakers, they have thrown out a divine command to accommodate a human preference. So much for all the spectacular music programs that such churches put on in the run-up to Christmas. In the final analysis, they were too busy celebrating Christmas to obey the Scripture and keep the Lord's Day as a day of holy observance and worship. And now, before we join the congregation of Faith Free Presbyterian Church for the ministry of God's Word, let's join them as they sing Silent Night. At a special service of lessons and carols at our church here in Greenville, I spoke of the three songs recorded in the opening chapters of the Gospel of Luke. Today we have time to deal only with one of them, the song of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So before picking up the message for today, let's just remind ourselves of a little of that song. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And it commences like this: And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and following, you have Mary's song. And Mary's song sounds a note of worship. I'm not going to expound the song in any detail, but I want us to learn something about worship from the very way in which Mary sang this song. It was first and foremost scriptural worship. As you analyze what Mary said, you will discover that this is a young woman, as we see, not sinless. But let us not, in our revulsion against the monstrous doctrine of the Romanists that have made her almost a deity and almost a member of the Holy Trinity, and called her a co-mediatrix and a co-redemptrix with Christ, in our revulsion against that, let us not downplay the grace that God gave to this young woman. Hers was a young mind that was imbued with a knowledge of Scripture, saturated with the Word of God. And you will see her very way of speaking reflects that.
And as she goes on, you will see that she was full of the promises of the covenant of God's grace. And so it was natural as she expressed her joy to the Lord, as she expressed her praise to her Creator and her Redeemer, as she couched it in the terms that were scriptural and were full of definitive references to the promises of God. Scriptural worship. Her worship was humble. Here is a young woman who has just received the greatest honor any daughter of Eve ever received. Here is a young woman exalted to the highest pinnacle any woman has ever stood upon. Here is a young woman to whom and in whom God did the greatest single miracle in the history of all creation. And yet you find her prostrate and humble. God, my Savior. He is God, my Savior. Now let me throw something out for you to think about here. It is usually thought that when she said those words, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior," that she is referring to God in sending the angels to give her the message. And I'm sure that's true. But I believe that when Mary had that angelic visitation, she grasped the truth of Luke 1:35. She grasped the truth of that miracle of the incarnation. And when she was rejoicing in the Lord, it was the Lord. Listen to me very carefully. Who so humbled himself as to unite himself with the embryo created of her substance in her womb. And when she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior," it was a rejoicing in her incarnate Savior. She recognized the miracle that the angel had announced, and she immediately confessed her need of such a Savior. There's none of the doctrine of the Mariolaters here. There is no talk in Mary about her immaculate conception. No, she says, "I'm rejoicing in my Savior. Only sinners need a Savior." Mary, confessing her sin, sighing of her trust in the Savior, exulting, as the word rejoiced indicates, exulting in His grace, He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. The word, the low estate, simply means humiliation. I have to be honest, I don't fully comprehend what she was speaking about. I think that she was saying, "Lord, you have not chosen a princess but a peasant. You have looked down in my humble estate." But it's not just a humble estate. The word means humiliation. I wonder, did she have in mind the humiliation of Joseph being on the verge of delivering to her a bill of divorcement? To put her away means to divorce her. All being just, in other words, having regard to the law of God, he was going to put her away. What a humiliation. Was she thinking of the slanders that would be heaped upon her name? Was she including the heartache and the tears that would flow because of those slanders? I can't be sure. But I can say, as she felt herself down deep in the dust, she looked up and she said, God has looked upon me. I want to tell you something that's worth singing about. Where were you when the Lord found you? Deep down in sin. Wretched, unclean, undone, unworthy. Can we not sing this song? He regarded my low state. He looked upon me when I was less than the least. He loved me freely. In verse 50, she says, His mercy is on them that fear Him. What grace is this? She sings of the greatness of the Lord in verse 49. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is His name. Great in power, great in holiness. My, what a song to sing. He's mighty. And what's your testimony? God hath done great things to me in His holiness and in His power. I've said that the miracle the Lord did in that young woman stands, in my reckoning, as the greatest miracle ever achieved. I can think of nothing even comparable to the union of eternal deity and true humanity in one person. I can think of nothing even comparable to that as a majestic miracle. Accepted be this, that every poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner who has trusted in Jesus Christ can also say, He that is mighty hath done great things to me. What a miracle to take a child of the devil and make him a child of God. What a miracle to take a child of wrath and make him a possessor of eternal life. What a miracle to take a condemned sinner and justify him freely by the grace of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What a miracle to take a hell-bound sinner and enroll him in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a miracle. He that is mighty hath done great things to me. Holy is His name. Is that your testimony? Let me ask you tonight, do you know anything of what Mary's singing about here? Do you know anything of that personal, internal, spiritual, powerful work of the Holy Spirit? Making you a new creature, creating faith within, bringing you to Christ, uniting you to Christ, giving you the forgiveness of sins in Christ and reconciliation with God in Christ. Do you know anything about that? Or are you stuck in dead religion? I think it's one of the saddest things that the human mind can contemplate. People can be in a church like this one. You can hear the reading of the living word and go out dead in your sin. You can even enjoy the singing of the lovely carols of the advent of Christ. Go out without knowing. You can hear the angels sing. Go out to an eternity in hell. What a tragedy. If you've only got dead religion, I want to tell you, Mary's song introduces us to a living Savior. Oh, I trust you'll come to know the goodness of which she sang. As God fulfills His covenant promises in Christ, you'll come to know that personally.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.